Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Now we have been speaking on the subject of the culture of the kingdom of God. The culture is just talking about the way of life. In other words, those of us who are born again, who are in the kingdom of God, must learn to live like people who belong to the kingdom of God. That is what we call the kingdom culture or the kingdom way of life. Because we were somewhere else and God translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So we were in one country and we were moved to another country. So you have to learn how to live in that country, the new country. Now, in order for you to practically live like somebody who belongs to the kingdom of God, or as it were, live the kingdom life, you have to have the standards of your new country or the kingdom of God. You have to get the standards. That is what Jesus Christ said, that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness, he's talking about his standards. Because, you see, the standard of morality in one country can be different from that of another country. You see, the standard of morality in an Islamic country can be different from a secular country. Alright? So, especially an Islamic country who is using maybe the Sharia law, it may be different from another country. So what Jesus Christ wants as his people to do is to seek his standards or his righteousness, what he deems right in his country. Because in his country, some things may not be right, okay? But maybe where we came from, the things are okay. I mean, it's just cool, you see? So before we can live practically the culture of the kingdom or live the kingdom life, we have to get the standards of the kingdom. In other words, we have to get an understanding. We need a certain kingdom understanding in order for us to live the kingdom life. And in the Sermon on the Mount, really, the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 5 to Matthew chapter 7, Jesus Christ was showing us practically how to live the kingdom life. It's a very practical teaching Jesus Christ gave, touching on almost every aspect of life. And he ended it with 7 successive parables of the kingdom that teaches us how we can live out this kind of life. Hallelujah. So, in the first part, which we call the Beatitudes, we have looked at some 3 culture or lifestyle of the kingdom of God. First of all, we talked from verse 3 where he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And we say that Jesus Christ is teaching us over there to have a parasitic dependence upon God, a hopeless dependence upon God. In other words, we should be so hopelessly dependent on God, no matter who we are, no matter where we are raised. That's a relationship with God. Now, the second part, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." In other words, Jesus Christ was teaching us to have the right response to sin. And that borders on relating with Jesus, because he came to take away the distraction of the kingdom life, which was sin, so that we can have a free, smooth course to live the kingdom life. Once sin was taken out of the way. Alright, so blessed are those who mourn. It's talking about the fact that we must have a good or a right response or attitude towards sin. And Jesus, because he came to deal with sin, it borders on how you relate with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We have to believe his person, his principles, and then his performance as far as sin is concerned, and integrate it into our lives, and that becomes the culture of the kingdom of God. Now, number three, we have looked at the fact that Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Alright? That one is talking about how to receive in the kingdom system or the kingdom arrangement. Inheriting the earth, we have seen that it's talking about getting something. We get it by inheritance and stuff like that. And he says that it is the mild, it is the unprotesting, it is the yielding who are going to receive. So over there we learned about the culture of resting to receive, not hustling or struggling to receive. Why should you struggle when Jesus has done it all? There is no more struggling. We are more than conquerors. We only rest in what Jesus Christ has done in order for us to inherit, not earn or merit, but to inherit the earth, blessings, good things of this life. Now, today, we want to look at the final thing for now. We are handling this in the month of May, alright? So, we want to look at the final thing in verse 6. Jesus said that, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Hunger and thirst is talking about a basic desire. So Jesus Christ now wants us to watch our basic desires. Basic desires. Once we come into his kingdom, we must have an eye on our basic desires. Because hunger and thirst is talking about our basic needs. You know, the human being desires water. It's basic. It's like number one. The human being desires food. It's basic. So he says that blessed are you if your basic desire is for righteousness or is for the right. And I'm going to explain that in today's session. I hope to finish everything today. I mean on this subject. But he says that our basic desire must be right. Hallelujah. And our basic desire must be for the right. And he promises that when it happens like that, we are going to be filled or satisfied. Wonderful. Wow. So, I want us to look at what kind of lifestyle is Jesus Christ trying to teach us. He is teaching us a certain way of living based upon a certain understanding we must have. What kind of understanding does Jesus Christ want us to have? What kind of lifestyle is he talking about? Now, Jesus Christ is talking about our desires. I like to put it this way, our passion. Can we all say passion? Passion is really talking about a strong desire. Everybody has got desire. It is basic. Everybody is passionate about something. Human beings are created as creatures of passion or desires. So God gives everybody a desire. There is no human being who do not have a desire. But now he wants us to work on our desires, have an eye on our desires, because the desires must be focused onto something. He's talking to us about the culture of being passionate for the right. Our passion being right. Hallelujah. You know, everybody has got passion. There is no human being who hasn't got a strong desire. That is what passion is. Passion, to be passionate for something is to burn with fire for it. It is to be zealous for it. It is to long for that thing with an intense desire that borders on obsession, or if you like, addiction. You know an addict. An addict is somebody who so desires maybe something. He desires that thing so strong that if he doesn't get it, he will be bizarre. In fact, he will say that he will die. And he wants that thing.
And when he gets that thing, whether into his mouth or into his nose or into his veins, but somehow into his body, then he cools down. He says, yes, this is life. Every one of us has got this kind of obsession for something. You know, I came across somebody, I was amazed at this gentleman. I was somewhere in Asia many years ago. And then I came across, you know, this North Korea guy. I don't know what is of them, but he had a passion for food. Food. He liked food. You know, and I usually share the table. We come from about 25 nations in the world, you know. And I like to share the table with him and things like that. He taught me to play roulette and, you know. So, this guy, he loves food. Before, the thing is always a buffet. And you see that once he is picking his throat, you could see the thing salivating, you know, going up and down. And you'll be, it will be making noise. I mean, noise that you can hear. You know, that's passion for food. You know, strong desire for food. Some of you, if you see food, you get up gradually to go and take what you have to eat. But some people know. They want it. That's passion for food. I have come across people too who are passionate for soccer. They know everything. The history of Barcelona, when it was started, and the first manager, and the goal, how it was scored. And you see, when they are talking, I went to an FM studio, and it was a time for sports. This guy got up, and I don't know, he was full of energy, and he was talking into the mic with some kind of force. I said, hey, what is this? I was shocked. Human beings don't talk like that. You know, the guy was talking and he was mentioning things. Wow, that was his passion. Passion for soccer. They know everything about soccer. You know, very intense desire. I have come across people too who love Europe. Have you seen somebody who is passionate for Europe or for America? I have been with people like that. And I have said to myself, I have said to people around, you know, ultimately this guy is not in the country again. But he was so passionate for it that when people ask me, I mean, why did this person go and things like that? I say, look, that guy, if he doesn't go, you don't know me, I know him. If he doesn't go, something will happen to him. I'm telling you, he was very passionate. You know, with prayer, every prayer topic, all the discussions, it was all going outside of Ghana. I mean, that is how come passion is like. And there are other people too who are very passionate about money. Have you come across them? Eh? Me, I've seen them in films before. I've seen one. Do you know Danny DeVito? Do you know that Italian guy? Hey, he likes money. He is fast. I mean, he's always thinking about how he can cheat somebody and make a fast movement and things like that. You know, there are some people, and Danny DeVito is a form, it's not his character, but you see, it is a very far-fetched example. Right over here, as you are listening to me, there are people who so love money that when money is put here, they will suspend everything, suspend their morality, suspend their beliefs. They will suspend their sleep. They will forget that they are tired. They will forget about their wife. They will forget about how they have to bring up their children. I mean, the money is going to control them. That is what their obsession is. That is where their addiction is. Money tells them what to do. Money tells them how to, who to relate with and things like that. That is also a form of passion. But Jesus Christ is teaching us something. He says that our basic desire, our passion, must be right and must be after what is right.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Hallelujah. You know, Jesus himself was a very passionate person. At the age of 12, the Bible says that he went with the parents to visit Jerusalem, the old Jerusalem, a beautiful place you must be. He went journeying all the way from where he was staying, you know, Nazareth or so, and then they went to Jerusalem. It's a long trip because I've been to Nazareth, I've been to Galilee, where Jesus is, he's a man of Galilee, you know, Galilee of the Gentiles, and we traveled more than an hour, like almost getting to 2 hours to get to the old city of Jerusalem where Jesus Christ went. But they were walking, they were in the company, so it's a very long trip. Can you imagine a tourist bus, Volvo? I mean, very powerful bus, and we have to travel to get to where Jesus Christ got to. If you do not have passion, I'm sure that you will stop somewhere. When you reach somewhere, you will stop. It is only somebody who has got passion who will go. But Jesus Christ was. And when he went, at the age of 12, he went to sit with the doctors and with the teachers of the law. And the Bible says that they were astonished at his understanding and at his answers. And he was also asking them questions. And the parents left Jesus Christ behind. And they found him finally after 3 days. You remember the story. They went for a long time, 3 days journey or so, and then they couldn't find Jesus in the company, and then they had to go back to Jerusalem. I'm telling you, that place, even till now, it is so much full of people. It's like Makola. Yeah, if you don't follow diligently, you'll get lost. Because everybody is moving and you are rubbing shoulders with people because it's full of tourists and there are tour guides everywhere. People are shouting everywhere. And these Palestinians who have taken over the place, they are trying to sell everything to you, you know, for fast money and things like that. But Jesus Christ, the Bible says that he was there. He was in the temple. He went back into the temple. When they found him, he told them that, "Don't you know I must be about my Father's business?" Jesus wasn't being insolent. You see, we have a certain culture. In our culture, if you speak the way that Jesus Christ spoke, we will think that you are being insolent. How do you talk to your parents like that? Jesus was trying to tell his parents that, no, you shouldn't have looked around. Mary saw him and said, "Oh, son, why you have worried me? I've cried. All these things that the angels told me, I was wondering whether it was going to come to pass. You are the Messiah. Look at all the miracles surrounding your bed. And then now you have lost. And so I thought that maybe, I'm so sorrowful. And Jesus Christ told the mother, "Oh no, you shouldn't have been looking around. You should have come straight. Come straight to where the Father's business." He says, "Don't you know I must be about my Father's business?" Hallelujah. What was the business of the Father Jesus Christ was doing? Because there is something we call the law of first mention. Some people confuse the business of the Father. Please, do you know the business of God? If you want to know the business of God, hear it from the Lord Jesus. What was Jesus Christ doing in the temple? He said, "I was about my Father's business." What business was he doing in the temple? He was teaching. He was giving understanding. He was giving answers. And when they found him, he says, "I was doing my Father's business." Today we have made God's business something else, all apart from giving understanding and lifting people up so that they live the kind of life that God wants them to live. Jesus did that at the age of 12, which is the number of government. government or of the kingdom all throughout the Bible. Hallelujah. He is teaching us about the Father's business. The Father's business is giving understanding, is teaching, it is answering questions. Hallelujah. Says, I was about my Father's business. And that is what God is doing. Hallelujah. That's the Father's business. Wow. But that was the passion of the Lord Jesus. He was so passionate in his life that nobody could stop him from doing the things that he had come on this earth to do. Not the mother. No. Not the mother. Not the brothers. Not the brothers. Not the disciples. Not Peter, James, and John. There was a time Peter tried to stop him, and he was very annoyed, so to speak. I mean, let me put it that way. He wasn't annoyed in the sense of what we know annoyance to be, because African annoyance is a little different, you see, and European annoyance is also different. But Jesus Christ said something to Peter. He said, get behind me, Satan. That was the first time he did that. Do you know what happened? He said that, look, you are thinking about the things of men. And I'm going to talk to you about it. What you should be passionate about. Not the things that be of God. In other words, they are things of men. There is man's own way of trying to live for God. And to Peter, it is not right for Jesus the Messiah to go to the cross and die. But Jesus says that is man's way. There is a kingdom way. There is a way of God that pleases him. And that is what I am passionate about. So passionate about it that I am using very strong words for the first time to my best friend. That's Jesus' passion. They could not stop him. There was a time in John chapter 7, the brother said, go to Jerusalem, go to Jerusalem, and things like that. But you see, Jesus Christ said, I'm going to go, but I'm going to go at the right time. He moved like that, and in due time, he died for us on the cross. That was what was right in the sight of God for his life. He had come healing the sick. He had come feeding the hungry. But you see, that was not all that Jesus Christ had come to do. There was something that was his niche. There was something that if he did, God was going to be so pleased, as it were. God, he was going to fulfill what God had brought him into the earth to do. Of course, it's good to heal, but healing without dying on the cross was like a quarter of God's will done. He had to go and do the ultimate, the right thing, not the good thing. Hallelujah. Because there is a difference between what is right and then what is good. There is a difference. And I want us to look at that in the book of Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 to 3. Over there, the Bible tells us about the good, the acceptable, and then the perfect will of God. Romans chapter 12 and then verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world. In other words, he's saying that don't be like an unbeliever. God is telling his people, don't be like an unbeliever, his kingdom children, you know. But what should our culture be? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the will of God is divided over here into three. The first one is the good will of God. The second one is the acceptable will of God. And the third one is the perfect or the complete will of God. Now, let's take it one by one. The good will of God is talking about the religious. It's talking about the religious. The good will of God is talking about the religious. Religion is mankind with a little good inside of him. That is fallen man with a little good inside of him. trying in his own way to please God. You remember the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When man ate it, man entered into religion, and man was trying in his own way with a little good inside of him, trying in his own way to please God by sowing fig leaves to cover himself. But we know that that was not acceptable. God didn't like it, so he took it all off, and then he killed an animal and clothed them. That was the acceptable one. That was the one belonging to the kingdom. So the good will of God is talking about the religious. It's not talking about living like an unbeliever. You remember, he said that don't be conformed to this world. In other words, don't be like an unbeliever, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, you are not an unbeliever, you are a believer. But the believer has to understand that there is a good will, there is an acceptable will, and then there is a perfect will of God. As we sit right now, as we listen to God's word right now, there is a good will of God, there is an acceptable will of God, and then there is a perfect will of God. The good will of God is the religious, our own ways as believers to try to please God, to try to live for God, to try to live and maybe thinking that that is the kind of kingdom life we have to live. We have our own understanding. That is the good will of God. The Bible says that many people are on this way. It is a broad way that Jesus Christ spoke about. It says that many people are on it. Many people are treading the religious route. In other words, human beings in themselves trying to please God in their own ways, using their own standards. Not God's righteousness, but their own righteousness. Hallelujah. Which is like filthy rats, no matter how righteous they are in our own sight. So you can be a believer, be in the kingdom of God, and live a religious life. And live a life with your own understanding of the kingdom life and stuff like that. You know, how to please God. And that is what many people are on. They are on the broad way. The Bible says, unfortunately, it leads to death. It leads to death. That's why when Adam and Eve ate the tree of knowledge of good and evil, good first and evil, they died. Ultimately, they died physically, but they died spiritually when they did that. So that is the good will of God. Now, the acceptable will of God is talking about the kingdom way of Jesus. The acceptable is talking about the kingdom way of Christ. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion Offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.